Well, as you know, we've been talking together about some of the stories that Jesus told as they develop for us and clarify for us what it means to be in the kingdom. I want us to very quickly this morning move to the Lord's table. As we do, I want us to look at one more of those stories. And we're going to look together this morning at taking an eye exam in Luke chapter 18, 9 to 14. Luke chapter 18. We need to take an eye exam. You know, many of us have eye problems. And those eye problems can very often and almost always will get in the way of our relationship with the Lord. It affects our worship and it affects our daily lives. And so in order to make sure that our eye problems are being taken care of, let's take an eye exam. Let's look together in Luke chapter 18. If you have your copy of Scripture with you, we're going to start here in verse 9. You ready? He also told this parable to certain ones who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. This is the audience. How would you like to be included in that audience? Jesus told a story. And the story he told to certain ones who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. Here's the story. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax gatherer. You remember the old Westerns? Bad guy has a black hat, good guy has what? He's got a white hat, that's right. When the folks that day heard this story, as soon as he said Pharisee, they picture a guy in a white hat. Understand that we, this many years later, see Pharisees differently than they did. In their day, Pharisees were the good guys. They were the ones pleasing God. They were the ones making sure that everyone else pleased God. They were doing everything right by the book. When he said tax gatherer, they immediately saw a guy in a black hat. He's the bad guy. Tax gatherers were the lowest of the lows. These were usually Jews who basically betrayed their people by selling out to the Roman government. The government would come and they would say to the tax gatherer, you must collect this much money in taxes. However, you can require the people to pay whatever you want, and then you get to keep the extra. So the tax gatherers would require the people to pay this much so that they could make that much profit. That's how it worked back then, and everybody knew that's how it worked back then. And so the tax gatherers were cheaters, and they were liars, and they were despicable. They were the lowest of the lows. So when we hear the story, we get the hats backwards from when the original audience heard the story. Pharisees, good guys. Tax gatherers, bad guys. You ready? Verse 11. The Pharisee stood and was praying thus to himself. Did you catch that important phrase? He stood, which is not inappropriate. That's what they did. When you prayed, a very common posture was to pray with the hands palms open and upward. To pray like this was not inappropriate. It was what was done. In this case, the Pharisee, in all his regalia, would have walked forward in front of all the people to make sure that they all could see and hear. He would have raised his hands in prayer and spoken loudly. But the important part of that verse for me, did you notice the phrase? The Pharisee stood and was praying thus to himself. He was praying to himself. He wanted everyone to hear just what a great guy he really was. He says, God, I thank thee that I am not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax gatherer. Imagine going to church one day and somebody prays, I'm glad, God, that I'm not like him. I fast twice a week. By the way, they're only required to fast once a year. They added to that, the Pharisees added to that, that they would fast twice a week. I fast every day between 3 and 4 p.m. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all I get. But the tax gatherer, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. The Pharisee is saying, thank you, God, that I'm so great. The tax gatherer is saying, have mercy on me, the sinner. Notice he didn't say a sinner, like I'm just one. Everybody else does it too. He said the, accepting personal, individual responsibility. I am the sinner. The tax gatherer, standing some distance away, unwilling to lift his eyes to heaven, beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, and he who humbles himself shall be exalted. Dr. David O. Dykes tells this story. He paraphrases the parable in more of a modern setting. And his story goes like this. As Baptist Bob walked into church one Sunday morning, he was disgusted to see Larry Lowlife there. For Larry was a drug dealer who had just gotten out of jail. Bob warned some of the ushers to keep a close watch on Larry because he was a no good crook. Before the offering, it was Bob's time to pray. He walked proudly to the microphone and began to pray using his religious tone of voice. Dear Lord, I thank thee that I have been a deacon in this church for 20 years. I even remember when I built this building using my own two hands. I thank thee that I haven't missed a single Sunday for over 10 years. There were times, O Lord, when I was sick, but I came anyway. And Father, thou knowest I used to sing in the choir until I was persecuted by the song leader who wouldn't sing my style of music. But I can endure persecution just like thou didst. Thou hast blessed me financially, so I have been able to give you much more than 10%. I thank thee that I'm morally pure, for I don't drink and I don't cuss on Sundays. And I don't smoke unfiltered cigarettes. And I don't use drugs or sell them like someone who's among us today. Lord, we need more people just like me in our church. Lord, help everyone to come out tomorrow night at 7 o'clock at Oak Park Field to watch our church softball team beat the Methodists again and bless the gift and the giver. Amen. After napping through much of the sermon, Baptist Bob strolled out of the church feeling good about himself because he made it through another Sunday. He liked leaving church because he didn't have to think about God again until the next Sunday. Meanwhile, Larry Lowlife was slouched in the back pew. After hearing the message about God's forgiveness, he slipped to his knees and began to pray. Holding his face in his hands, he sobbed quietly, God, I'm the dirtiest sinner in this town, and I'm so sorry. I don't deserve it. But is there any way you could wash away my filthy mistakes? Please, God, I need you. I tell you, it was Larry Newlife, not Baptist Bob, who went home that day right with God. For he who struts his stuff before God will eventually be slapped down, but when you admit you're like dirt compared to God's purity, he'll pick you up and clean you up. The essence of the story, one comes in saying, God, look how good I am. The other one comes in and says, God, thank you for showing me how much I need you. One comes in and says, God, look what I can do for you. The other comes in and says, God, I need you. Have mercy on me. One comes in to be justified by his own actions. Look at what I give. Look at what I do. Look at how I pray. The other one comes in just begging for grace. Which one left justified? Jesus says at the end of his story, it was that man, the tax gatherer, who went home justified that day. Why? Because there is only one way that you and I can be justified. What is justified? It means to be forgiven and cleansed. It's the idea that God brings to us a righteousness that we have not earned and cannot earn, that we do not deserve. How does that happen? We are justified by grace through faith. We're justified as a gift from God through our faith in Jesus. Romans 5:1, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot be religious enough. You cannot earn it. You can't be good enough. The only way to be right with God is to receive His grace, to be the sinner who admits he's a sinner and prays for forgiveness. How is that possible? How can we be made righteous? It's the same verse I showed you last week. Do you remember? You remember the verse from last week, 2 Corinthians? God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That is the only way that we can be made right, because Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin. And look at that, turnaround. Look at the opposite, the other side of that coin. We, who were all about sin, were made righteous. When he paid the penalty for sin on that cross, he provided an opportunity for us to be saved. And so the Steel Magnolias sing, "I'm saved by grace. It's not what I deserved, but I'm saved by grace." It's the reason that we sing those songs. It's the reason that we celebrate the supper. Those things remind us that he died for us. When he shed his blood on that cross, he did so to pay the penalty for our sin. 1 Corinthians tells us, everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. I'm going to ask us this morning to take time to do just that. Take time for an eye exam. Everyone ought to examine themselves, an eye exam, before they eat the bread and drink from the cup. Take a moment and let's very quickly work through an eye exam in preparation for the Lord's Supper. We're going to start by asking three questions. Question number one, why did I come to church? Did I come to be seen or to seek God? Ask yourself, did I come so others would see me, or did I come so that I might see God? Jeremiah 29:13, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Why did I come to church? And then ask yourself the second question. What is my attitude in church? Am I proud of my goodness or desperately in need of God's mercy? See, I think many people might as well come to church and instead of singing "I've been saved by grace," many people might as well come to church and sing the Toby Keith song. I want to talk about me. I want to talk about I. I want to talk about number one. Oh, me, my, whatever. What I think, what I like, what I know, what I want, what I see, my style of music, my way of doing it, my plans, my goals, what I get out of it. Beloved, and I use that term seriously, beloved, why are you here? What is your attitude while you're here? Is your attitude, "I'm proud of how good I am"? Or is your attitude, "I desperately need God's mercy"? One more question. how will I leave here? In the parable, there was only one man who left that church experience justified. You will go home today in one of two conditions. You will either go home unchanged, religious and proud of it, or you will go home unburdened, right with God, and thankful for it.